Blog Talk Radio. Welcome back to Tom on the Radio with your host, Tom O'Neill.
And shall we say good evening to you. It's 11 o'clock on the nose here in the Seven Cities and in Michigan. I'm Tom O'Neill. This is Tom on the Radio. And this, I'm about to bring on Brock Lesnar's next opponent in the UWC. Or is it the UFC? Whatever. Steve Baxley, how the heck are you, big guy?
I am doing fantastic, my friend. I hope everyone had a great weekend, and tonight there is comfort in the land. Tomorrow we burn again. Yep, it's going to be hotter than, well, fill in the blank.
Yeah, you have a conscience, Steve. You don't want to give away that angelic persona that you enunciate, unlike Stephanie and Shane McMahon are doing right now. Where shall we start?
Let's put it this way. You ain't heard the assessment yet. Oh!
You are so right, sir. This is the annual All-Star break, and I saw a show tonight that I don't think we will see the likes of in the foreseeable future. Whatever Barry Bonds is doing down in South Florida, that John Carlos Stanton, he should bottle it up and he'll be a billionaire.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, the home run derby, oh, man. Classic.
It was good. It was good. And one thing you learn, if you have the choice, let John Carlos Stanton go last. Because if he goes first, he will knock many, many moonshots out of the ballpark.
Indeed, indeed. And next year there is a few trickles of rumors that next year pitchers, actual pitchers, will be involved next year.
You mean like Madison Bumgarten, perhaps?
Paul Sieb?
Or maybe Justin Verlander.
Yep.
Okay, speaking of Justin Verlander, you did a post Monday morning on your Facebook page about the Detroit Tigers and where you see them, where they are, and where they're going. I'm giving you the floor.
Okay.
Express yourself.
I will be brief. Here we go.
That's what she said. That's what Betty White said. I'll be brief.
And by the way, Shane McMahon picked to lead SmackDown.
Woo-hoo!
Woo-a-woo-woo. Let's get to the assessment of the Tigers' first half. Pitching, I gave it a C-. They got some good bright spots. Jordan Zimmermann, Michael Fulmer, even Justin Verlander is getting back slowly and surely to his old self.
Okay.
The bullpen, however, it continues to be a question. continues to be.
Are you giving them a grade?
Yes, the pitching for once, like I said, they got some bright spots. Yeah, they're little sputters, but still, the bright spots are there. C minus on pitching. Catching, you got gold with James McCann and Jared Saltalamacca. There may be some slip-ups, but still, pure gold. Got to give catching an A minus. The infield, you got the next generation of second and shortstop dynamite, Kinsler and Jose Iglesias. They are as good, if not as better. They remind Tiger fans of the great team of Whitaker and Trammell. And as for the Bombers, Vimar, Cabrera, Castellanos, they leave their opponents with nightmares and, in some cases, wet beds.
Hey!
I give the infield a B+. The outfield, there is some good news. Their magic with Maben. There's still a question of just how good Justin Upton can be. He continues to be a work in progress.
Or has he seen better days?
Pardon?
Or has he seen better days?
Yes, he has seen better days, but still, Upton does have some light in there, some glimmer of a little bit of magic. He does come through in the clinch. As for Anthony Gose, he may have just killed his career in Detroit because of his temper tantrum in Toledo.
Oh, he did it again?
Was he the same guy
that flipped off the Tigers fans earlier this season?
Yep.
Gotta go. You gotta go.
Yep. And, like I said, outfield, C-. And now, manager.
Uh-oh.
Manager.
My ears are perking.
I had to give Brad Ausmus right now a D-. He knows his tail is getting a bit toasty this season. There have been some moves that he made that need to be questioned. Now, still, technically, he does have the Tigers in the playoff and even the wild card hunt. And I will say this: his Earl Weaver type anger display at that one game may have given him street cred with the fans and players. May have given him respect. But as we enter the second half, the question still remains, can he make this team stay focused on getting the wild card or hope that Cleveland has their swan song? And, well, let's put it this way. Can the Tigers stay focused and grab the AL Central? I'm hoping they do, but right now, what Ausmus showed me last year, I gave him an E. This year, this half, I got to give him a D-. He could still do better, but right now, there's a lot of work to do, and a very short time.
Isn't there anybody on the coaching staff that can fill in? Or is Illich, and we know Mike Illich is not exactly a spring chicken, and he wants to see a title. He put all that money into the baseball team and is not producing any championships. So what is he going to do?
Well, I will say this. The two times he left and gave Gene Lamont the reins. Lamont did good. Gene Lamont won the two games that he had to manage. Now, Gene Aumont is the bench coach, but when Brad Ausmus had to leave because he got suspended that one game plus for a wedding, I do believe, Gene Aumont, he got him on focus. So I think maybe could Gene Aumont come on back into the seat of honor if Brad Ausmus doesn't get the Tigers into that either wild card or Central Division title?
But let's remember, isn't Brad Ausmus on a lame duck contract this year?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And gotta watch that. We'll just have to stay tuned, as they say, because and this brings up the supporting players. We go swinging with the supporting players. Not a bad bunch, not a bad bench. I got to give the supporting players, those that you only see maybe once, twice, three times.
A lady.
I give them a B-. They are stoked. They are stacked. And when someone's in trouble, they'll bring one of the benchers up. And we have seen just how surprising some of these guys are. Now, as for Al Avila, the new head Tiger in his first year, usually I would give the new Tiger, like Brad Ausmus, or in this case, Al Avila, a pass.
You can't.
But in Avila's case, I ain't giving him a pass. He has proven himself a little bit as the new man at the helm. He made some good deals, and then there's that deal with, again, the questionable one with Justin Upton. But I think Avila sees something that we don't in Justin Upton yet. Again, much like Justin Upton, Al Avila is a work in progress. Right now, I have to give him about a C-.
Steve, Mike Ilitch is not into projects. He wants results.
And he will get results. He will get results. The final assessment.
When?
The final assessment, everybody has been asking, has the door closed or is it closing on the Ilitch era? Everybody's waiting for Mike Ilitch to grab that second title, to grab that second World Series, to go out a champion. Well, if the Tigers can make some big trades, and it might mean breaking up a few people, letting some big money go, and get someone that could get a spark in this team, they got a good chance. Right now,
I'm seriously concerned about the Friends of the Feather. I don't see them failing in the second half, and I think they're going to pull a trigger quicker than the Tigers because they have more to trade. They have more young players they can trade to get what they need.
This is true. And there's some new blood coming along that could help along. They're getting things back together in their farm system. But right now, I'd say their best chance would be if they beat Boston and Toronto. They do that, they got a wild card spot. I don't think this year, unlike last year when in the second half of the season Cleveland started to fall apart, I don't think that's going to happen. I think this is Cleveland.
No.
This is Cleveland.
You will see a big trade in Cleveland before they falter.
This is true. And not only that, but you look at on the other side of the coin, this is the big season for the Cubs. If the Tigers want to be a part of the season with Cleveland hanging on to that American League Central division, they got to start thinking wild card.
Now, yeah, I think you that's can't what, win if you're not in.
That's right. And right now, they're knocking at the wild card front door. They might as well forget about the AL Central for now. They might as well forget about the AL Central division title for now. Focus on the wild card. Get in that, you got a good chance. But right now, they still got a few problems they got to plug. The assessment for the Tigers is wild card, then go straight for the kill. Can they make it to the World Series? They've done it before. Can they do it again?
I don't like it. I don't like it, Steve, with a lame duck manager.
I got to agree with you. I think maybe, like I said, wild card and just try. Just try to beat Cleveland. This is Cleveland's year to win it all. I think Cleveland's got the. I think Cleveland's got their mindset already made. They're focused. They're strong. Cleveland will get the World Series unless they fall apart, and I don't see that happening. My assessment.
Unless Jose Mesa comes in at the bottom of the ninth inning and blows it.
Oh, this is true. Like I said, the relief pitching, on the other hand, So I have to give the assessment, the big grade on this first half of the season of the Tigers. It goes C minus to a D.
And you see them as buyers rather than sellers.
I do see them as as you said. I think they're going to be ready to make a few little trade chotskis.
Okay.
So I think they're going to be
start with that center fielder in Toledo. Get rid of him. You could probably get him for a bag of beans.
Anthony Ghost, his first year he was in the Tiger organization, he was good. But now, down in Toledo, it's like he's a different person. Like, he doesn't care anymore. Well, I think he's gone. He's gone. Say bye-bye, Detroit. Mr. Ghost, you have been replaced.
Get rid of him.
Yep. I give the Tigers a C-minus to a D in the first half.
Okay. Wow. There isn't that much to get excited over, because when you put the Tigers and the Indians together, the Indians have a much better team, better pitching, better manager, and they're hungrier.
Oh. They are so hungry, even the Walking Dead run away from them.
And I'm not completely counting out the Royals yet.
I gotta agree. The Royals still got that little spark.
Yeah, and all they need is a roll. They need to get on a roll.
They need a miracle. Because
they had a miracle last year.
Yeah, but this time they're going to need a miracle, 12 novenas, and a few of them their beads, because right now the big question is, who can disrupt the juggernaut that is the Cleveland Indians? They are on a tear. And there's the...
Whether it be coincidence or not, they got on that tear when the Cleveland Cavaliers won games 5, 6, and 7. They got on fire.
I mean, I have never in my life as a sports fan and a baseball fan, I have never seen a team so fired up, so focused. And the Cleveland Indians, the last team that has ever been that focused, the 84 Detroit Tigers.
Well, we go back to them again. 84.
Can't help
I mean, that was a magical year. That was a magical year.
This is true. But
they did not have if you remember that team, the 84 Tigers had no weaknesses.
This is true. Right now, they got some weaknesses.
Yes, they do, starting with the manager's office.
Mm-hmm. And I just have a feeling Gene Lamont and maybe Lloyd McClendon could be, as they say, warming up at the plate.
So what you're saying is they do have options.
Yes, like it or not, folks, the Tigers do have options. And if Mr. Ausmus fails to even get him the wild card, I look for Mr. Illich to open up his wallet and say, would Mr. McClendon or maybe Mr. Lamont like to take over for 3 years?
And who among them would refuse?
This is true.
So let's go. To another topic, Steve. We've about exhausted the Detroit Tigers, and thank you for giving an honest assessment of the Motor City Kitties. Going down to your neck of the woods, maybe closer to your neck of the woods. Big announcement today: the big fundamental Tim Duncan announced his retirement after 19 years and 5 NBA World Championship with the San Antonio Spurs. Some call Tim Duncan. Some call him the best power forward to ever play professional basketball. I'm sure Karl Malone would disagree with that, but he doesn't have 5 rings, let alone 1.
That's
so
right.
I will say Tim Duncan is the best power forward to ever play professional basketball. And the funny thing, Steve, is the Spurs are holding a news conference tomorrow, and the only person that's going to be there is Greg Popovich.
Papa was a rolling stone. He assembled a team, and he wasn't alone. They did it all.
Yeah.
And they did it with
no,
the
but, yes,
and
they did.
Right in the ass.
There you go. Some people call it boring basketball, but if boring basketball, championship basketball, then it's boring. But that whole team was made of fundamentals.
The Spurs, they had the best coach. They got the best players. And
the
legend.
Best GM. And the best GM and the best owner.
That's right. And when they signed Tim Duncan, little did they know they would have a legend. And I mean a legend among the best.
I kind of like the way he went out.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like the way he went out. I mean, he didn't do a victory tour. He didn't make a big thing about it. I'm sure it's been on his mind the entire season. He played until the very end, and he played for one team.
San Antonio Spurs, one team, one coach.
One team, one coach. If that doesn't tell you the greatness of Greg Popovich, then nothing else will.
I will say this about – go ahead.
Go ahead. Okay. He coached the team in his own image. It's hard to believe that Greg Popovich replaced Larry Brown as head coach of the San Antonio Spurs almost 2 decades ago. Larry Brown has been here, there, and everywhere, Pop just stayed where he's comfortable.
Because I'll tell you one thing about Greg Popovich. Everybody knows it. This man is pure humble. It
yes.
is the players, not just the coach. In his eyes, it is the players that made the team win the titles. It is the players that win the awards. The coach is just the leader. It is the team.
And they were five different types of teams that won those five titles.
That's right. And they were led by a man who would be a legend, Tim Duncan. And he went out, not on the NBA's terms. He went out on his own
terms. On his terms.
He did it like I put down earlier. He did it. He there was no more. He won almost every title, won championships, won banners,
won MVPs,
won every type of title you can imagine. He did it. I mean, there was nothing else left to prove. He is a legend. And he went out the way he came in, a winner, humble, and just the best.
He's the ultimate winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Yes. Hello?
Oh, Tim Duncan? Yeah. You still
yes.
there?
Yes, I'm still
so,
here.
Okay. So, to Tim Duncan, we salute you and best wishes at whatever you your next chapter is.
I have a feeling he will be a part of either ESPN or TNT's coverage.
Wouldn't that be funny? I mean, for somebody that some people consider so bland, that he would make his second career in front of a microphone. Because he wasn't he did talk, but he wasn't, he wasn't an actor-like talk. It was more like the big fundamental. He told you what he wants to tell you, and then he goes on. But it would be interesting to see if he does end up either at TNT or ESPN. Oh, speaking of ESPN, a big announcement today. There's been a talent shift in ESPN. Max Kellerman of Sports Nation fame will replace Skip Bayless on the table at First Take starting on the 25th.
Well, it didn't take them long. Max Kellerman once again gets to make a show his own. And what a show picked for the Mighty Mouse.
Yes, I mean, his triumphant return to Bristol.
That's right, and best of all, everybody's going to see it. You're going to have the clash of egos, Kellerman versus Stephen A. Smith.
And that's what they want. And then they also are happy they got younger.
Yes. The only one that's not really going to be happy is Michelle Beadle.
Now, she loves her some Max Kellerman. Now they got to find another co-host for the show.
Yep.
It'll be interesting to see who they pick. Or is it going to be like rotating stars?
Probably.
I mean, really, to me, Sports Nation hasn't been the same since they got on ESPN and lost a half hour and lost the studio audience.
It gave
the show that energy. It gave that show that energy. I mean, you putting in on a sterile environment. I mean, the aerial volatility of that show made the show.
Yes. the studio audience was just pure cream.
Yeah, I mean, even on when First Take went on the road and they had a studio audience, that changed the show. It gave new energy to the co-host. And, you know, obviously you can't get a studio audience in Bristol because it's way out there. I mean, it's just, you know, to try to save a little money and to try to up the exposure, it's just sad that they had to break up the chemistry between those three. And on top of that, Max Kellerman had his own radio show with Marcellus Wiley out at ESPN Radio in Los Angeles.
That's right.
So from the little I saw this morning, it looks like Max Kellerman is very happy to go back to Bristol.
Oh, I bet you he is, to go back to bucolic Bristol where he got his resurgence.
Yes.
When he did the host of the ESPN boxing series.
Yes, and who knows, he might get back there. I mean, not saying that Teddy Atlas is not good or boring or anything, but it seems like every once in a while ESPN shakes things up. Like they let Shannon Spake go back to Fox Sports. But they have a bench. They have a bench at ESPN. They'll just, you know, promote somebody.
This is true. They
got a load of talent at Bristol.
Yeah. The one thing, and I'll make this brief. The one thing
that's what
that
she said.
The one thing. Bell. There.
I'll make your brief.
There we go. The one difference between ESPN.
You can ring my bell. Ring my bell.
The one thing between ESPN and Fox Sports 1, and for a little bit of number 2, and this is what got me when they had the new president from ESPN, their new controller. The strength of their bench. ESPN has a ton of people. For all of their channels, radio 1, 2, 3, 4, 215 ESPN classics.
And they're talented. And they are talented.
Meanwhile, Fox Sports 1, you had a good bench to start with. Then this guy from ESPN comes in. You don't have the bench anymore. Yeah, mm-hmm. Sure, you got the radio network, but that's different. That's someone else's company. Fox Sports 1 needs to develop their bench. They need to get
and
their bench back.
And that's why ESPN is still the worldwide leader.
That's right. Even though they're less of a grasp of sports rights, they still got it in the bench. And although Fox Sports no longer live with Jay and Dan, that's getting some viewers still. You got to have a bench to back them up in case of breaking news.
You got to have. Yeah, look at the networks. They thin their bench and they suffer when it comes to breaking news, like the shooting in Orlando. NBC had to rely on Brian Williams to anchor their coverage for a little bit.
Oh, I bet you that made some people happy. And
yeah,
say that,
people in the Williams household.
Yeah, I see that.
Daddy's back. No. There was a news event that happened in Los Angeles that CBS actually had to go to Ron Majors the anchor at their CBS Orinoco coverage. I forgot what the story was, but I mean, I understand that, you know, news can happen at any time, but like you said, we said you got to have a bench. You got to have somebody that's, and you got to have people that realize that they're in the news business. And, you know, all bets are off and all hands on deck when you're talking about a major news story.
This is true.
And speaking of all hands on deck, that leads me to my, let's go back to Gretchen Carlson. In case people don't know, the 50-year-old former Miss America kind of played herself in terms of charging Roger Ailes, the Fox News president, with sexual harassment. And it came out Friday, and Steve read it on his show, The Last Call Cafe, that as recently as last fall, Gretchen Carlson sent handwritten memos to Roger Ailes suggesting news stories for her, asking him, can she substitute for high-profile talent when they're on vacation or if they're on breaking news or something like that? That doesn't sound like, to me, sexual harassment.
Uh-huh.
That sounds like to me a woman scorned.
This is true, and let's not forget, she wants a public hearing. Well, if I am correct in the definition of public hearing, that means everything comes out in the open.
Everything!
And personally, I don't think Miss Gretchen wants to relive her days in Richmond, Virginia, especially...
Why'd you have to go there? Why'd you go there, Steve? I mean, just because she claims sexual harassment at WRIC 8 News, how can she... I mean, what does that have to do with the price of tea in China? I mean, you know, that's just a TV. That's just a low-rated TV station.
Yeah, their motto used to be.
And you mentioned that she allegedly had an affair with the main anchor,
mm-hmm.
who is still at the TV station. And if I stated correct, his name is Warren Condi.
Mm-hmm. I bet you 5-1 odds. Roger Ailes' team is right now going or thinking, do we dare bring up Richmond?
Oh. Well, you know, Steve, that's a thing that makes you go,
I think Gretchen should have heeded the advice of Mr. Ailes and his attorney and just gone to arbitration, because if the judge says this is going public, you bet they're going to dig up so many skeletons on her.
And who says that? Well, who says they're not skeletons in the next place she went to, which was WOYO in Cleveland?
This is true.
Because once a cheat, always a cheat. And I think that she felt like she wasn't good enough talent-wise, and she had to go on her looks. To shall I say this, Steve? Get ahead.
Oh, hey.
But you know, Roger Ailes made a business decision. I mean, the ratings weren't good, and they needed to make a change.
Yeah,
and that's what he's going to go. And that's what he's going to go on.
And I think maybe the people at Fox News Channel were glad to see Gretchen given the bounce.
Yeah, I think her co-anchors on Fox and Friends were among the leaders of the band saying, get the hell out of here. And I mean, she's had multiple chances, not just at Fox, but if I remember, at CBS.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I think her chances have run out, to be honest with you. I mean, she's 50 years old. that's ancient for a TV newswoman.
That's right, and all these ladies that have supposedly come out of the woodwork to support her, that ain't even going to work. I'm sorry.
No, that those two letters you read, and if you want to read those letters for yourself, go to ftvlive.com and just scroll down and read. They were handwritten letters. And when I saw those and when you read them on your show, I shook my head. I said, this is definitely not going to bode well for Miss Carlson.
And then you add her
plight in Richmond to it. This is just me, okay? Her credibility got shot to hell.
I gotta agree. You should have taken arbitration, Gretchen.
Yeah, because, you know, Roger Ailes is questionable at times, but he's not stupid.
Oh, no.
He's not a stupid man. I mean, he's not going to put himself out to dry and show favoritism for her and not for the other talented ladies at Fox News. I mean, this is a woman that actually got a break years ago to do a show which was eventually taken over by Megyn Kelly, and we see where Megyn Kelly is right now.
Megyn Kelly is the star.
She's about to get paid.
In a big way.
And not just at Fox. There are other networks that was willing to gonna open the vault for Megyn Kelly. So, I guess Fox is playing dumb by saying, yeah, she's a lame duck, but she'll stay with us. We gave her her break, you know. Yeah, but Megyn Kelly may be blonde and she may be beautiful, but she's not dumb. Fox is going to have to back the Brinks truck for this woman.
Yes, and next week, we get to see all the results.
Yes.
Republican National Convention.
Oh, my goodness. Oh. Yeah, that's right. And there is one and only one. There's one thing and there's one question. What will Donald Trump say in his acceptance speech, and who will he invite to be his vice president?
Ooh, I can't wait.
That question may have been answered today and in all places here in Hampton Roads, Virginia, where Donald Trump spoke in Virginia Beach, and one of the men who gave an introductory speech to Donald Trump is the aforementioned governor of New Jersey, Chris Christie. He might need a vice. And I also, to give equal time here, I'm getting the funny feeling that Hillary is going to invite a woman to be vice president. Wouldn't that be something?
Yes, it would be indeed.
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah, you're right. The Republican convention is next week, right?
That's right.
Oh, there's going to be lots of fireworks. There's going to be lots of protests. And I bet you there'll be lots of news out of the land, as they call it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, our time is up. As usual, Steve, an exploratory, excellent job going 45 minutes without a syllable of script. We did it again, my man. Thank you very much, and I will talk to you on your show, The Last Call Cafe with Love Nut 6, Friday night at 11:30 Eastern on these very same Blog Talk Radio airwaves.
You bet. I'm ready.
Yep. I could say you're born ready, but